Psst, oi, over here. Do you want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain.
Oi, oi, come back.
Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live, and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Riff Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
1, 2, 3,
take off!
Thank you.
Showtime!
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cats, you can skid up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like a bath. For the show, let's go to the DLFGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLinks.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
And there we go.
Another exciting episode of the Linux League Tech Show coming down your throat.
that sounded inappropriate.
It did. I didn't mean it.
That didn't sound right. I wow.
Right.
That was...
Poor timing, Dan.
I don't know how you... Where do you go after that?
Up and beyond. Onwards and upwards, gentlemen. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, not too bad.
Alan, did you buy your iPad yet?
No. I don't have a desire. I want to go play with it. I want to go down to the Apple Store and I'll take a look at it. But I really don't have any need for it because, with the exception of having a bigger screen, my phone does more.
Exactly.
Alright, since I'm not really watching movies on my phone, I really don't think I'll be watching movies if I was to have a larger screen. So,
I don't
although
know.
Although, actually, if that Google one does come out, I will probably go after that.
Listen to Alan, man. You're going all Android. Alright.
Well, it's just, it works. So, I have no problem.
How are you liking your droid still, man, now that you've had it for a while?
Oh, I can say that I don't miss my iPhone at all.
Really?
Not at all.
As someone who's had both devices, man, what do you think is what do you think the two compared? You know, what do you think that the Apple does better, the iPhone does better, and what do you think the Android does better?
Well, Android does better because you can pretty much install whatever you want. I mean, probably 90% of the stuff you'll ever 99% of the stuff you're ever going to need is going to be in the App Store, but the fact that you don't have to jump through hoops to get something into the App Store, you know, if you have an idea or something, it's probably the biggest thing right there. You know, in terms of a phone, you know, as a phone, they both work the same. They're phones. It's just the openness of the other, of the Android versus the not so openness of the iPhone.
Well said, Alan.
And then you look at those, you know, with OS 4 is coming out for it. And it's pretty much screwed over anybody who still has an original iPhone.
There you
even
go.
Though,
dude, man, you're
even though
like
all the things on there that they say you can't do, if you jailbreak your phone, you can do. And you can do quite well, actually. You know, I had multitasking running on that when I jailbroke it, and it multitasked very well. I don't know what the hell the problem is.
Well, the whole point with Apple is, you know, they don't want you doing certain things with their devices. Now, you might go to the store and pay money to take it home, but it's not really your device. It's their device, and they're letting you use it.
Well, it's all because of the idea that they want, that they're selling with it, I think is the big thing.
What's the idea that they're selling with it?
They want you to use it a certain way, and if you don't like it, too bad.
They're selling an experience. You know, this is a machine that's never going to crash. You're never going to have to go, oh, God, wait, I have to reboot my phone for something.
Did you ever have to reboot your phone?
I've rebooted the Android once or twice.
I'm not talking about the Android. I was talking about the iPhone.
No, even when I jailbroke it. Even when I jailbroke it, I don't think I ever had to reboot it.
Really?
My Nexus,
I turned it off
for
I would turn off the phone. I still do the same thing with my the Android phone. I turn it off about once a week for a little bit. Turn it back on just to clear out anything that may be running that I don't pay attention to. But you know, at night I have a task killer on there, which I go in and I kill all the crap that, you know, I may have used during the day that I'm, you know, gonna be asleep, so I'm not gonna use it tonight.
I've had my Nexus
Twitter
for about 6
like
weeks. It's never crashed on me once, ever. I've had one or two apps freeze up, but I can't.
Yeah, it's never been a crash. It's been, you know, like the camera. Every once in a while, the camera will freeze on it. That's the only thing I've ever had a problem with. And like I said, that's only happened maybe like twice.
I've never had any issues with the camera on the Nexus. The Nexus has been rock solid to me, man. I've been so happy with that thing. It's such a nice upgrade from going from the G1, man. It's like night and day, man.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you guys check it out when we get together.
Yeah, like 700 megs more processor speed there.
Oh, it's so much faster, man. It's just such a nicer experience. And the thing that really kicks ass about the Nexus is the freaking 3D acceleration on that thing. Holy crap, man. It's outstanding. Like, they have these, like, 3D accelerated games. I mentioned like three of them on my blog, man. Any one of those three games, you play that like on one of the older phones and play it like on the Nexus, and it'll blow you away how good it is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the newer stuff that's coming out, because, you know, every 2 years I buy a new phone anyway, so I figure in another year, so, you know, year and a half on it, there'll be, you know, more something faster than the Droid is right now.
Oh, yeah, that's just the normal evolution of things, you know. New stuff comes out, and then, you know, faster, better, quicker, you know, fancier, the way it goes. But one other thing about the iPhone, the thing that's really pissing off the developer types is that with the OS 4 release, they're not going to allow developers who do their development on toolkits other than Objective-C, whatever other language they support, you know, the official languages that they support. If you do you do your development with another toolkit, say like Flash or Mono or whatever, and then you build a binary for the Apple with a cross compiler or something, they're not going to allow you to do that anymore. And that has a lot of the developers all pissed off and got their panties in a bunch about it. And I can understand why, you know. You know, as a developer, you want to develop your application and get it onto as many platforms as possible. And if you can do it on multiple, that's great for you, because, you know, it's just more people, you know, who are using and checking out your application. So it's basically, again, it goes back to Apple wanting to control everything about, you know, their device and what people do with it. And they basically want the developers to only develop for their platform and no other platform. So, you know, they make the rules more draconian, they piss more people off. You know, hopefully, you know, people see the light and they move to a more open platform You know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Apple charges developers $100 a year. They want to.
Yeah, I think it's $100 a year plus they get 30% or whatever you sell your app for.
A lot.
With the new thing, what they're doing is they're going to put ads inside your apps.
Oh, that sounds like
an as part of your experience.
That sounds like innovation.
I think at that point, I think they're also they're getting I think they're doing a 60-40 split. So I think they're getting like 40% off of the ads.
How generous of them!
Yeah, I think when they did the Objective C thing for developing, I think they're really doing that to try to screw over Flash and stuff like that. Yeah, to keep the Adobe. I'm sorry, they're trying to really screw over Adobe by making it harder for everybody.
Yeah, they're at war with each other, Apple and Adobe. It's getting ugly. But with
somebody
Android,
gonna get a smack.
If you want to write for Android and develop in the Android marketplace, you pay $25 once, and if you want to sell it, I think you keep almost all of it. I think.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think they take a cut of anything, to be honest. I don't know. People should develop for Android, man. It's a kick-ass freaking platform. And then other platform. Go ahead.
I really think people will start doing that as more and more phones get Android. I think the Droid really helped. Kick, you know. There were Android phones before that, but I think the Droid really kicked everything up. Up a notch there.
Well, Verizon spent a lot of money on their marketing campaign. It helps if you spend money.
Yes, and it's nice that they kept it pretty much their fingers pretty much out of it too.
Yeah,
that was my one fear.
That's progress for Verizon.
Yeah, that was my one big fear with them is they're getting their fingers in there now. Granted, you know, the App Store does have a Verizon tab in it, but that's pretty much it, at least from what I found.
Now, I hear that it's not the same deal for the Android phones on AT&T. I hear that the phones over there are...
I think they actually disabled the... I read somewhere, so I don't know if this is true or not, but they disabled the install from any... The little tab that allows you to install from anywhere.
I mean,
they're forcing
you to... Hit the tab and say, I want to install from non-official repo and pretty much go anywhere.
I think that's disabled on the what is it the blur that one is that the one?
They got the
one that I think it's the black foot, the one that just came out.
Yeah,
I read somewhere where that's disabled on there, and I don't know if that's true or not because I've never seen one. So
I played around with one for about 5 minutes. Dan Fry got one for his wife, and he brought it over, and I was looking at it. It seemed okay, but what was really weird is they disabled a lot of the Google stuff, like AT&T went and put a lot of their own apps in there. And they ripped out a lot of the official Google stuff, which is kind of weird because, you know, a lot of the official Google apps are pretty damn good on Android. I like the fact that everything integrates into the cloud seamlessly, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think AT&T does that because they want to try to make it look less than the iPhone.
You don't have to dick around with it.
Not as convenient.
With you know, some kind of a sync app or anything. You just don't need it, you know?
Yeah, well, I guess...
I haven't had the need for it. Have you guys?
I've never worried about...
A need to do what?
I've only had, like...
An application to do syncing with your Android phone and your computer.
No, why would you need that?
You don't need it, because it's all done automatically.
I can't think of what I'd use it for.
Now, I did have a syncing issue right after I bought the phone where it would get stuck in sync and just, like, kill the battery instantly.
Really?
That seems to have gone away. I can never trace down exactly what it was. I saw a couple other posts on the Motorola forums and stuff asking about it. Nobody really came up with a reason why. That happened, like, twice to me. And then, you know, knock on wood here, that it hasn't happened again. I'm hoping with the new firmware on it now that it won't happen at all. But
that's right, you got 2.1 pushed out to you, right?
Yeah. Which is actually quite nice.
That's awesome. I'm liking it. It came with the Nexus 1 out of the box, and it's pretty sweet. I'm liking it a lot. But that was one story. And the other story related to that is Palm is up for sale. Palm, so be interesting to see who buys them. One rumor is HTC is going to buy them just to get their patents.
Very possible.
And use them in their lawsuit against Apple.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. But yeah, that could probably work.
Because Palm's been around for ages.
Yeah, I still have one of the, that was an Advisor, I think it was called.
I had a Palm Pilot for a couple of years.
There's a Palm Visor. That's actually worked really well.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, it's a PDA.
You get
organizer.
Like 2 months out of a, 2 months out of a AAA battery. Plus, that was the one you could actually buy, the little cartridges and slide up the top and get like a camera or the Wi-Fi.
Right, have little add-on modules.
Yeah. Although I don't have any the only add-on module I have is actually a keyboard that snaps into it.
Yeah, so we'll see who buys them.
Time to see what Vanessa is up to.
Who? Who's that?
I'm reading the chat, the IRC here.
I don't know who Vanessa is.
Claudio's sister.
Claudio's sister. What does she have, like a webcam or something?
She has a Facebook page.
Oh. You guys are creeping me out, man.
Why? She's of age.
Well, post her link so we can see what she's up to, Dan.
Hold on, I'll post a link.
And then
what's
there's another news. The whole video codec on the internet debate is a big deal. And there's some rumors that this company that Google had bought called Onto, they had this video codec. It's called VP8. It's supposedly designed for the internet. And it's supposedly a real good competitor to H.264, which is patent encumbered. You have to get a licensing for if you're a content creator, and it could be quite expensive. So Google went out and they bought this company. It sounds like they're going to open source the VP8 video codec and try to integrate it into HTML5 as the video standard.
I hope they do that.
Yeah, that's the rumor going around, so we'll see.
Yeah.
That'll be great if they do.
I don't know if they've come out so much as saying that they're definitely.
They haven't made an announcement that they're definite, but it sounds like, when people are saying that, that's what it seems like it's going to be.
Yeah, and I wonder what that's going to do with regards to, if they get that out soon, if that's going to change the ball game for the war between Ogg Theora and MPEG 264.
No, it's H.264.
Yeah, H.264. I said X.264 and MPEG 2. X.264 is the open source sort of the FOSS library.
Implementation of it, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still patent encumbered in the United States, which
yes, if you're a content creator, you get to license it. Now, my hot pog box, the one that does the HD recording off the cable box, that has an H.264 encoder on there, and the quality of the videos is excellent, I have to say. Both standard def and high def, it looks great. And when I've done re-encoding, the Android phones, they can do playback of MPEG 4. H.264 content. They have a decoder on their chip that'll let you do the playback of them. And any of the stuff that I recorded with my Hotpog PVR1212 box, anything that I've re-encoded with FFmpeg to either, MPEG 4 using Libex 264, the quality is very good, I have to say. The stuff that I've re-encoded, it looks very good. But I'm open to all the codecs, and if this VPA codec is all what it's cracked up to be, it might be a good thing. And if it's not patent encumbered, it's even better. You know, everybody's pushing Og. You know, I like Og Vorbis files. You know, but if you compare Og Theora and the video files, I don't think they're as good as H.264 files, to be honest. But they can improve it.
I'm doing most all of my DVDs now are H.264.
It's a great codec, H.264. The quality is very good. You get small files, and the quality is pretty high.
Play real nice on the TV, too.
Oh, yeah. It plays back on everything. It's great. So what are you recording? You're encoding with what? Using Handbrake, Alex?
Yeah. Yeah, I just throw a bunch of them on like the little Mac over here and just let it run overnight. Figure if it burns up, it burns up. But it works.
I've been doing direct with FFmpeg. I'm pretty happy with the results I got on there.
Yeah, I'm lazy. I'm lazy to plug it in, hit the buttons and go, and walk away.
Handbrake is fine. The thing I like about doing it directly with FFmpeg is I have it set up in MIF as a user job. You know,
I had a problem with getting that running over there.
You can do
there.
That too with the Handbrake with the command line.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, when I try to do the... I was using your FFmpeg scripts on it. For some reason, it's not encoding the AAC on it.
You're probably missing a library.
It craps out on that. Yeah, I gotta figure out why. It's not like a big, real big deal. I haven't really even bothered with it.
There's two of them. There's LibFac, which is the newer one, which is a little better. And then there's the old AAC library.
I'll have to see what's on there. Log in over the weekend and see what's on there. I did get my MIF front end running.
That little box that you bought?
Yeah.
How do you like it?
It works real nice. Probably it's got a really loud fan. I gotta get a more quieter fan.
Now, which one did you
fan.
Buy? You bought like it was a parts kit, right?
It was an assembled one. M-Wave. It's a Ion. Let me go dig up the box here. Hold on.
As we wait for Alan to get his box.
Alright, speaking of Myth TV, I borked mine the other day.
What'd you do?
And I didn't even know
it. Killed it, man.
No, I didn't kill it. I just did standard updates and just cruising along. Spent a lot of time watching Netflix off the Wii, streaming Netflix off the Wii, and the only show my wife loves to watch every week and is waiting for every week is Lost, and you know, we sat down to watch Lost last night and it came up and it said, you know, it couldn't watch it, the recording of it, because it was
Stan, you're sleeping on the couch tonight.
It couldn't watch the recording of it because it was in the process, or it wasn't available yet. So I went over to play on live TV, and every time I go to live TV it would just come back to the menu. And my daughter said to me, yeah, we went to try something else, and it said there was no data in the file. So I was looking at some of the recent recordings, and she was right. So I popped down to a terminal, and I looked at the recordings themselves, and they were all zero-file recordings.
That's not good.
No, so I looked in the log files, and it kept saying that there was, like, weird log errors. What it all came down to was there was a bug in the latest... In the version of the IVTV driver I was using, that was pulled down, and my myth box is not like up to the latest version of Ubuntu. It was running, let's see, Jaunty, I think,
904?
And 810. That should be Jaunty. And I said to myself, you know, eventually I'm going to upgrade it. Probably near the summer when the seasons are all over and nobody's around. And if I hose something, it won't matter. Well, needless to say, I looked online about a bunch of different things to do for this. And they were talking about moving to the latest IVTV driver. But this is going back to 2008. And I was like, well, I don't want to really dick around with it. So I'm just going to, you know, throw caution to the wind and do a dist upgrade to the next release, which would be Intrepid Ibex and fired that off. 45 minutes later, rebooted, and I was golden, man. Everything was back the way it should be. Everything worked perfectly. You know, now I'm like, well, should I go up to Karmic? And I'm like, well, I'll probably wait till summer. Point. Yeah, I mean, I'll wait till summer or something to do that when I have a lot of... Nobody's around and I have spare time and it's not going to interfere with any stuff
now
that
just,
we like
just
to watch.
You're just doing standard def recording, right, Dan?
Yeah, standard def.
Now, what do? You got cable down there?
Oh, yeah, standard cable.
Do you watch a lot of, like, network shows or it's mostly, like, the cable channels?
I think the only network... Well, we watch a couple of network shows, but they're all... Aside from a couple of shows on Fox, most of them are on... What is it, NBC? Is that the one that... No, ABC, which has Lost on it. We do, like, watch a lot of stuff off of Comedy Central and Kids Watch Disney or Nickelodeon.
Right.
It's like, we only watch, like, 8 channels, if that.
Because if you recorded a lot of the network shows, you could pick up, like, an HD Home Run box, okay? On sale, they've run specials for about $100. Normally goes for about $150, $125 sometimes. But I've seen it as cheap as $99.
That's
a great box. You can do... It's got dual tuners in there. You can hook up an aerial antenna to it and do over the air.
Yeah, I think that was like $149 on that link you had last... Or the week before.
Well, they recently had a sale for $99. And $99, that's a freaking great deal. And you can also do unencrypted QAM channels on there. So if your cable company... You know, they usually keep the network stations open. At the very least, some cable providers. They also have other channels.
I think most of them, well, I know if you have Fios, Verizon Fios, it doesn't do that, but...
No.
Yep, the RCN ones up here are all the network
RCN,
ones.
RCN, Comcast, Time Warner, they keep a decent amount of channels open. So it's worth to have that. If you're going to be doing cable box, if you're going to be doing HD, then your only option is the PVR 1212. But if you're doing an unencrypted cable, you can also get a like a PCI card. There's a few different cards that you can get for like $50 or less, and it does what the HD Home Run does too. But the HD Home Run is nice because it's a dual tuners box. So, like last night, I had 3 HD recordings going on at once, and I didn't notice any blips or anything with it. That's pretty impressive.
Cool.
And I don't
now
have
just imagine system. Just imagine if you had 3 Flash videos running at once.
Forget it.
Well, that was my only depressing thing, you know, the part of when I bought this little front end thing. The only thing I was really hoping that, like, you know, Hulu would run decently in it. And sadly it doesn't.
Flash is bad.
Just choppy enough that it makes it annoying. You know, if it was a little bit less, it was like every couple of minutes or something, and you know, it was a little jerk, you know, you'd be okay. But it's just choppy enough that it's annoying to watch.
I hear that the newer VDAPAU release, well, actually the NVIDIA drivers, that soon they're going to integrate Flash playback with VDAPAU, how they do now with MPEG 2. And
that would be good.
H.264 also with Flash. Supposedly the new version is going to, the new Flash is going to do that with the Windows version, but not with the Linux version. But I hear they're working on it. So that would be great, I think, if they can do it soon.
Oh, so then we don't have the Hulu slideshow anymore?
Yeah, the Hulu slideshow.
It's not a slideshow, but it's I mean, it runs well on it, but it's just jerky enough for me that it makes it annoying. I mean, you can watch a movie in it and stuff. It's not too bad, but to me, it's annoying.
What'd you buy?
But everything else, everything else really plays really well on it, though.
Oh yeah, the MPEG 2 and MPEG 4, they look great and they work great.
Actually, you know, fire up VLC. I put that Gmode app on the phone. Honestly,
right?
I
you can use your phone
keyboard.
As like an input for your computer.
Oh yeah, it works perfectly. Just by putting Linux Mint on there. I was running it off a thumb drive when I first started, but I didn't like the performance there, so I went out and bought a cheap drive and threw it in there. I put Linux Mint on there. It runs nice.
That's a nice little app, Chief.
Hey, guys.
Hey, hello. How you doing, Joel?
You know, I was going to say, before we get too far away from Hulu, I don't know, man. Out of every desktop system or whatever, laptop, anything I run Hulu on, it's kind of really sucky.
And you hear the fan spin up.
No, the fan moves faster than the video.
I watch it work.
Yeah.
On it on my laptop at work, I watch it, you know, through Linux there, and it's not really bad at all. But you know, it just happens to be when you try to blow it up onto a TV, you know, you notice all the little jerks and stuff that you don't notice when it's just on the laptop.
I mean, if it's this is something I really want to watch, the only way I can get it, I'll suffer it. Speaking of that, what I wanted to finish up with my story was, as I was upgrading, I was almost going to, like, consider dropping down to either abcgo.com or Hulu to watch the next episode of Lost, but they don't post the episodes right away. So, I went looking for torrents or whatever I can find, and finally, like, 10 minutes after the show was posted, I found this link to an Xvid that was it, and I downloaded it, and of course, when you're downloading off the free service, it's like 1 or 2 kilobytes a second,
and it was...
Yeah, it took about an hour and a half, 2 hours to download it. But, oh my goodness, this was like... The company should hire whoever did this to do the rest of their stuff, because it was beautiful. It was perfect. The quality was amazing. There were no commercials. Everything just flowed beautifully together. It was just, wow.
Where'd you find the feed?
I don't know. I kept Googling around until I found it.
It was just a myth recording, Dan.
It was just beautiful.
A transcoded myth recording.
That was a pretty fast transcoding.
Yeah, look at Show RSS. That's a good website.
I found a good Turkish website that streams everything.
TurkishWeb.com.
Yeah.
I've seen Russian sites. That's actually how I watched Star Trek the first time, the new one.
Yeah, I mean, it's got Turkish subtitles. It's a little annoying, but at least it got all the episodes there. It's not like, you know, Hulu, where they only showed the last 6 episodes.
I forget what one I used to watch, but I used to pick up this Portuguese station and watch the original Star Trek, only dubbed over in Portuguese. It was hilarious.
That's awesome. Pick up some Portuguese, man.
Did Captain Kirk pause like that?
Yeah. They had the guy. I mean, like, I don't understand any Portuguese, but my boss was laughing his ass off.
That had to have been funny. The stilting Kirk. I just watched the new Star Trek yet again this week. I love that movie. I cannot wait till the next one.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. They did a phenomenal job.
I think we talked about this weeks ago, Joel.
Probably.
What?
The last Star Trek movie.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Tron Legacy is going to be good, too.
Yeah, we talked about that, too.
Did you see Clash of the Titans yet?
No, I haven't seen that.
I liked it. You know what? It essentially followed the same storyline, of course, as the original. But I really liked it. I loved the first one, the original, so I dug the heck out of this one. I love fantasy movies, and this one was just... It was worth it. It was fun. I enjoyed it. You know, people are like, oh, it's not really that great. You know, I went in expecting a fantasy, and I got it. You know, a sword and sorcery.
We remade Conan.
That's sacrilege, man. Who's like Conan?
They're talking about making
Arnold.
A new Conan.
He's too old, man.
Conan.
He'd have a bit part in it as like some old wise guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. It's not a tumor.
It's not a what?
It's tuma. Not a tumor.
It's not a. That was pretty good. I like
Kindergarten
the way
that. Cop.
Damn.
That was a bad Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. It was funny, though. Like the scene where the little boy goes, boys have a penis and girls have a vagina.
Well,
If we had a whiteboard, you can draw us the picture.
Dan, I'm sure you can do that.
Because I'm not sure that some people in our IRC know the know what is what anymore.
Nah.
Or
no, so Alan is not doing porn now.
Bounce it down now.
My gut feeling is the person asking how the big dorky show is going is probably my sister. On to annoy me.
Any rate,
I got an update.
Let us know what's the update.
I'm trying to eat dinner at the same time. So last week, Link and I had a somewhat lengthy discussion about project management software.
Oh yeah.
And and Joel too, you were involved in that.
Yep.
And I have been settled on pretty much on Planner. But
Planner.
Yeah, Planner. I don't feel like it's fitting my needs the way I want to work. Link sent me a email today of some a link. I'll post it in the chat of a bunch of project management software options under Linux, open source project management. I'll post it in the chat here. Hold on 1 second. And I looked at those, and I know I had tried Task Juggler before, so I decided I don't think I gave K Plato a fair shake. And I brought that up, and I like the way K Plato kind of looked, but I preferred the functionality and the style of work it from Planner. It just seemed, and it's probably because, again, with all these, I didn't do any research. I just fired them up and started going to town on them, and Planner just seemed to be the easiest one to get going. Task Juggler was a nightmare. I'm like, what do I it's like a text editor at one point, and you got to write some kind of funky code. I was like, am I in a project management software or Elixir documentation? I don't know. It was crazy, but K Plato kept crashing on me, so I'm like, I can't use this. And I tried OpenProj. I went to their website, I downloaded OpenProj, and I installed that. It wasn't in the repositories. And again, I looked at this, and it was just a little different than GNOME Planner. And
Dan hit the mute button again. He always does that. And then he freaks out because it's you know, no one's reacting to him. He's probably going on a tangent right now and just continuing his conversation. He'll go on for like another 15, 20 minutes. And then he'll realize that we can't hear what the hell he's saying.
It's too bad, too, because I just thought of something that's kind of related to this.
OpenProj will allow you to open up Microsoft project files, though, because I have to use that at work every now and then.
There's a I'm trying to remember the name of it. I found an app for brainstorming stuff. You know, just laying out a whole bunch of stuff and kind of relating each thing to each other. Gosh, I wish I could remember what the name of it was. I don't even have it installed on my netbook right now.
Did the stream go down, or is it just Dan muted?
Probably, who knows?
Dan's muted.
Probably Dan.
Because Adam Fubar is saying, welcome to Dead Air on NPR.
Well, we didn't talk for like a few seconds, so that's probably what he heard.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so maybe that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, he unmuted it.
What did he?
Mind mapping, that's what it is.
I'm back. You hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
We all hear right. you now. Go ahead.
I don't know why my system just... there's something in here in my system, one of the screensavers, just throws my whole... My mezzo for a loop. Anyway, where did I stop? Where did you lose me? What was I talking about?
And.
Yeah,
you
and
lost
what?
You at and. I don't know. Talking about project files and or open project and.
Okay, open project. I pulled down open project, and that was just... It was a little more complicated than I wanted, and it was overkill. And not as intuitive as I thought as GNOME Planner for my purposes. Somebody had mentioned Scrinch, which is a Java-based application. I couldn't get Scrinch to run in any of the browsers I was using. It uses Java Web Start, so I didn't even get anywhere into Scrinch at all. And are they saying that there's dead air?
I think that was
because we were all quiet after you said the
yeah,
oh.
like 2 seconds were real quiet. I think that's what they were referring to.
Okay, yep. All right. So anyway, I talked with Link about it, and you know, he and I both agree that I don't know if project management software is exactly what I'm looking for, or whether I'm not using the software properly. Essentially, what he and I both seem to be looking for is a way to, and how he puts it, a way to track a multi-person task list, a trackable multi-person task list. And what I want to do is, because I have to manage a couple of developers, I got to manage a graphics person, three developers and a software engineer, and we got these projects coming in, and I need to manage these projects that I need to know who's working on what and how much time is going to be spent on each project, how much we're going to devote to it, so that I can begin scheduling the next projects coming down the pike. I can keep tabs, you know, when the account managers come to me and say, when's this going to be done or when this is going to be ready, I have a better time estimates as to what's going on. And GNOME Planner is all right, but trying to look at this information in a meaningful way, like looking at the Gantt chart, is it's not as easily readable and as intuitive as I'd like it to be. So I'm still trying to find a better solution. In the interim, I had spoken to the manager of the account managers, and he's big into Sugar. So they got a whole Sugar system, and he's like, well, Sugar has project management in it. And I'm kind of thinking I'm going to start using that, because he's like, they put a lot of work and effort into their Sugar system, and it's got already all the clients and the projects in there. You just have to start adding tasks to it. And nobody has really used this yet, so aside from him. And so I'm going to take it to the next level and see if it's going to be functional for what I need it to be. But again, I have yet, and both Link and I agree on this, unless we write something ourselves, there doesn't seem to be just an easy way to track that without having to get involved in this like huge endeavor of project management software. Unless other people have a suggestion.
I don't... Yeah, I'm with you there, Dan. We experience the same kind of issues, and really, we usually fall back to like spreadsheets and emails. You know, it's not very good either. But you know, it's almost like you need to find one, the methodology you want to use, and two, a tool that follows the methodology. And the problem is, one tool might start out following a certain project management methodology, and then they start adding crap to it, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
So then it just gets to be this big, unwieldy kind of piece of crap. So.
Yeah, and, you know, and again, when it comes back to the project management methodology, it seems like there is a... it seems like the project manager software that we get is more, seems to me, more along the lines of not something that tailors itself to my workflow, but I would have to, you know, tailor my workflow to the project management software. You know, it's not something that is going to work for me. I have to more or less work with it, and that's not what I want. But hey,
I've taken project management courses, and in most of those, to me, you know, they always rely on, well, how long is each step going to take? And unfortunately, in our business, in IT, and when you're writing software, you can't always say how long it's going to take you to write it. You might be able to say, well, it's going to take me a week to bang this out, but then you run into a snag on day two, and then you discover it's going to take you a month. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It's really hard to produce good time estimates for those. You know?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm trying to do is... What Gnome Planner allows me to do is I say, okay, here's this project. We're going to start it on this date, is the date it's scheduled. And I'm going to say it's going to take 20 hours to do. So it's going to be a 20-hour project. So the duration of the project is going to be, we're going to spread it over, it's a 20-hour project, 5 days. That means it's about 4 hours a day is going to be dedicated to this project. And I assign a resource to it, which is one of my employees. And, you know, that says to me, and I like that, okay? I like that. But, you know, it's hard for me to see then, or gauge, when I look at that, and I add, like, I look at the employee and see the resource, overview of the resource in the Gantt chart. When I add more tasks to this employee, it's hard to really gauge where projects, you know, where they're at in projects and stuff like that. And it's, so far, Gnome Planner's been the best at it, but I still, it's not... it's hard to, and the more tasks I give to a person, that's the only person that fits on the screen. So if I want to compare what's going on between in my whole team at a given date, I really can't see that through Gnome Planner, because I only see resources broken out by themselves. You know, they'll list the resource and the tasks assigned to them, but I can't compare like four or five people on a given date very easily. And if I want to switch and look at it from a task-based perspective, it shows me the tasks that I have, and again, maybe I'm wrong in this, but here was my method for doing this. And Joel, since you've had classes on this, you could tell me whether I'm right or wrong. So I looked at this, and it says to me, okay, here is a project, and you can create multiple projects, but it seems like a project is a self-contained thing, okay? And I have resources in this project and everything. It doesn't seem like I can do, like, multiple projects on this. So I create a project, and in there, what I would consider individual projects I created as tasks, and what I would then say as, you know, under those projects, which should be tasks, or subtasks under those tasks. And it breaks it down like, okay, here's the company that we're going to design a site for. Task number one is the graphics department's going to build some mocks, and that's going to be a 6-hour job spread over 2 days, so that's, you know, 3 hours a day. And then next would be web, and stuff like that. So when I look at this, when I look at the project, essentially the project is our company. And each individual client is a task, and the jobs we're doing for them that broken down into what my employees are doing are subtasks. So, and maybe that's wrong. Maybe I need to bump it all up a level, and the company that we're working for, doing the project for, is the project, and the tasks are the individual like things that we're doing, like building mocks, designing the site, you know, doing X, Y, and Z. And I don't know, what is the, Joel, am I doing it wrong?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that, I'd have to find, the textbook I had. I wish I had it handy. I might have actually sold it back. But they, we, Project Man, I think the book that we used in the class was, believe it or not, Project Management for Dummies. or something like that. But, I think probably, about the only thing I can think of that, that you might be messing up is that, you know, I mean, I don't know, do you have, like, meetings and stuff, like, with the whole team, like, including, not, I mean, you include end users on your project team, correct? That have to approve it and test it and...
Well, see, that's the thing. I don't have to include those people. I'm only concerned about the people on my team and the end user, the relationship between the end user and is handled by the account manager. So it's kind of like my team does development. We kick it to the account managers who then go between the client and us, and if there's a problem, we kick it back to them. Kick it back to the developers, you know, and stuff
right.
like that. So I don't really have to include the end users on my stuff, but it is included in the overall product.
Right. Okay. Because the way we always did, well, the way we, I went, not only did I actually took classes where I work, but they also had us trained to in this. And, of course, we don't really use the methodology, unfortunately. Usually the way it goes. But the way it ended up being was we had this meeting, and we would discuss, well, what are the deliverables and all that, and what things have to happen before this happens. And, you know, and we basically... You know, probably the most successful project I had was when we implemented a new version of a web advisor that we use at work, and that we followed the model to a T, and we didn't even use a software tool. The project manager actually did what they were supposed to do, and they took the software, and they produced the Gantt charts and all that for us. And now they actually produced the Gantt chart, but we came up with the task, and he arranged it on the calendar, and knew when the project end dates were, and stuff like that.
See, and based upon what you just said to me, like, there's a huge portion of the quote project management process that I don't even need. I'm not even involved with.
Probably.
You're talking about, you know,
the end user. Because it sounds like you already have the project. You already have the product selected, or if it's a product you have to implement, or if it's a website that needs to be written, they already know what they want. They just can't, you know, write it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not at that. I'm not. My process doesn't involve all that other stuff. I'm at, okay, we want this. Give it to us. Just implementing what they want. I don't have to worry about gathering all that stuff of what they want. That's not what I manage. But when it
and
comes
how,
to
how
us...
How long does that take, though? I mean, how long do these things typically take?
How long does the gathering process take? That can extend over months. And that's another problem that we have in our system, which I... You know, I can't handle when you're trying to gather information from clients and they're dragging their heels on this stuff. It can, you know, some clients are great. They got, within 2 weeks, they got all the information we need and we can step up to the plate and knock it out in a few days or whatever, a few weeks, depending on the size of the site. But, a lot of times, you know, we're looking at a month, 2 months, 3 months even. There's some people that we haven't, it's going on 2 years now, and it's ridiculous.
That's
not my part.
No. I mean, that's because a lot of that is because like I said last week, I'll say it again this week. Your tech, Seth, you should be involved with that end user before it gets to the point where they're saying, hey, we need this, because a lot of times they make the wrong decision in what they want, you know, and you could have actually saved them time and effort by just saying, well, hey, what about this? You know, just, you know, coming up with ideas. I mean, the people, it seems like you have the same problem we have. They sit and they say, oh, we need this, but then they don't think of, well, how are they going to use it? How are they going to use the site? Are they going to use it? You know, if it's a website. You know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. We had a 2-hour meeting about that today, you know. We need to streamline the process here from, because what we ended up running into with our sites is that we built a system about three years ago that was, it was kind of templated, and it worked really well, but it was supposed to be a turnkey solution and provide people with a web presence and a portal and bunch doing a bunch of stuff. Well, about a third of the way into the project, the original people that started it were all left, and they hired a whole bunch of new people, and I was involved in that new people. And what we never had was an adequate product person, and we built this system. So we built it, and it was functional, it was working really good. And then we were supposed to design the version 2, which was going to even be better. But we went and acquired another company, and they had a similar system, but it was really, you know, spaghetti code, and they did things completely different. And what we ended up with, long story short, what we ended up with the old system that we had running, it was not very easy to customize it. And the salespeople went out and sold some stuff and promised customizations, not understanding that this was going to kill us. And in order to customize it, we ended up, like, we're still working with this company 3 years later to customize their sites, and it's such a bear. They're nitpicky as anything. So we got these people that are dragging on the process, and instead of, you know, what ultimately what we came down to and said what we wanted from a developer standpoint, and in order to prevent this drawn out process of development cycle and, you know, never getting to that point, it always seems like you're in beta almost is what it comes down to. Listen, we come in and we said, look, we want everything done up front. All the information collected. We want the mocks approved. This is the way it's going to be. And once the customer signs off on it, that's it. We're building that site. They signed off on it. We are not changing anything until that site is finished. Until we're done with the build process, then, you know, it goes back to the account managers, it goes back to the customer and the salesperson, and if they say, well, we see what we did here, but we really want to do it this way, then they can decide whether are we going to charge for that or what. Because what ends up happening is we're building the site, the customer looks at it halfway and says, well, now we want to do it, you know, we like what you did here, but now we want to do X, Y, and Z, and a 3-week process turns into a 2-month process. And I can't, and that's why I can't schedule shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I need project management software. That'll solve everything.
Right.
But you know what I'm talking about. And you have to deal with these people, and you got to set expectations, man.
Yep. I think that's probably the most important part there is to say set expectations. You know, that's why you need to be involved at the beginning. You know, they might decide, well, we want to finish this in 6 months. But then when you get a hold of it, you're like, dude, this is going to take a year with who I've got, you know, with vacations and everything else. It's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's the thing. you got to work as a team. Just about anything is a team. Now, are any of you guys in management?
No.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Too close to it.
when they promoted me into a management position, my actual coding time, like when I was doing 100% coding and then I was like partially management, it was like I was doing 80% coding, 20% management. Well, now it's like I'm doing 95% management, 5% coding, and it's really...
Well, you are a manager.
Oh man, it's like you do good at your job, and then they promote you to not do your job anymore. Yeah, you know, you're out of your job. Yeah,
it's like this though, Dan. What it sounds like to me is that you need some people that are dedicated to the project management. You know, to not necessarily managers above you, but managers that's all they do is manage the project.
That's why we have account managers.
They're really good at the project.
But they have accounts, though, that they have to manage, don't they? And
well, they do.
They probably have too much. They probably don't have enough time to actually dedicate to the project. But they'll make that hour or however long your meeting is, maybe half a day.
Oh yeah,
believe me, maybe. I know how long project management can go.
You know, it seems to be like you want to get a process that works, and you spend more time trying to develop a process than actually implementing it.
Yep.
And then it all falls apart when one element of the whole process doesn't implement the process properly. Or somebody comes and circumvents the process, and then it all just like... It's like, what did we spend all this time doing?
Yep. Yep. So anyway.
Well, you know, enough of the process management. But that's if anybody has suggestions
and
on...
it's boring.
Yeah, there's your tech. There's your tech for the week, man. Real life business tech. The exciting
world. Now
let's
talk about
if you want to become management, you tell them no.
Yeah. Well, if you like doing that kind of stuff, if you like managing, you know, like dealing with people and interpersonal problems, and
oh boy,
if you like giving bad news to people, there you go.
Here's the
become
bad
a
news.
Manager.
Well, that's like the project, Dan.
I was a supervisor.
Yeah, we actually just launched the project. We finally went live, and it took us about a year, I think. But they decided to buy this module that plugs into our the web piece of our ERP system. Basically, what it's for is if you just want to come and take a class, but you have not, you were never a credit student with Columbus State, you actually can go to this website, book for the class you want, pay for the class, and it triggers off and fires off and creates a login and all you need to do to become a student in a non-credit area. Okay? The problem is we basically had fully customized the user creation process that this software uses, so we had to come up with a way to do what we wanted. Well, our managers, my managers, and not my manager directly, but the ones above him, they say, well, do it this way. And we'd start doing it this way, and we said, well, this isn't going to work. And we'd have more meetings and more meetings and more meetings and wasting time. You know, and what it all boiled down to is nobody put their foot in sand and said, this is the way we're going to do it. If they would have done that, and we would have had it done a lot sooner. But
yeah,
then when
people,
we get
it
done...
A lot of people are afraid
get it
they
done,
responsibility.
Yeah, but then we get it done, and all of a sudden they discover, well, we can't have a class that is free. It actually, the software bombs out. And I'm like... You should have thought about that and testing and yeah. So it's fun, and you can't get end users to test right. You know, hopefully you're in a situation where you have an actual quality assurance department to take care of that kind of stuff for you. But I know in a lot of cases you just don't have that. Unless that's all, unless that's what you do for a living. If your company does that, like if you're Microsoft or Ubuntu or Red Hat or somebody like that, then yeah, you have a quality assurance department somewhere.
We had a quality assurance department until they took it for another team.
Yep. They
did
that
pretty good. I'll tell you what, though. You know, even when it passes quality assurance, man, your damn users really find out. They always find those bugs in the system, no matter what.
Yep.
They always find a way to break it. They are just, they amaze me sometimes at the stuff that they do.
The most common way they break it is to not do what you told them to do in the first place.
It's like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that?
They're
not
supposed to
do
it. That's
not the way it's supposed to work. Well, that's the way they want to use it. That's not.
It's not written. It's not wrote to work that way.
You know, we run into all sorts of problems with that, dealing with third parties, because we do some third party integrations for apartment management software, and the way that one community will run or use their apartment management software system is completely different than another. And different in such a way that our integration with them to push and pull information in and out of those systems has to change based upon the apartment complex. And it's insane. You know, it's like, well, you know, this, you'd say a move-out date means one thing to this apartment complex, but it means something different to this other. And it's like, how could they mean two different things?
It doesn't make sense, does it?
No. Oh. Well, it is maddening. Anyway, I guess, you know, to continue on with the role of wonderful stuff and to tie some other things back together, switching topics for a second, my daughter... She has to read Jack London's Call of the Wild for school, and
isn't that public domain?
Well, right. And I said to myself, you know, it is public domain. And I looked, and she said she needed to get the book. And I'm like, you know, I said to my wife, I said, it kind of sucks that her cell phone. She has a cheap cell phone. It's a nice cell phone, but. It sucks that her cell phone doesn't have an e-book reader, because like I'm looking here at the Droid, and I have a couple of different e-book readers on here. I have Aldeco, and I also have.
Wait, you got a Droid now?
I've had a Droid for
a
while.
The
G1.
The G1.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm sorry, not the Droid, the G1. There's Aldeco. There's an application called that I found the other day.
FB Reader.
No, Wordaholic, which is kind of like Aldeco. And, of course, there is FB Reader. And there's also another one out there, but I don't think they're... I think they're, like, pirated books. Or called La Puta.
La Puta? You know what La Puta is, right?
Yeah, I know what it is.
Then there's books that are just applications themselves, too.
Right, there's books like that, and I said, you know, it would have been perfect that if she could just carry this, because I carry a whole library in my hand, she could just carry this, flip open the book and read it. So, you know, it got me thinking, well, she's got my old AAA PC, and I'm like, let's look at the e-book software on the AAA, at least I can get her the book. So, went out there, and of course, the number one, it seems, open source, or free and open source ebook reader is FB Reader. And I pulled down FB Reader, and FB Reader is a great application. I pulled it down for Arch on my system here, and I pulled it down for... she has Linux Mint running on hers. And I was looking around. Now, FB Reader doesn't integrate network-wise with Project Gutenberg. And FB Reader has some network functionality where it'll do, I think it's Feedbooks is what it goes on, one of the main databases. Unfortunately, the version of FB Reader on Linux Mint was not as up-to-date as the one on Arch, and I had better luck on the one on Arch pulling down books from the Feedbooks website. The everything I searched for on the Linux Mint one never found anything. So I was kind of disappointed with that, and I was too lazy to go out and manually get it. I could transfer the books over that I pulled down on my Android by plugging it in, on my G1 here by plugging it in, and that would have worked fine. So I looked at other things, like Project Gutenberg has there's an application called GutenPy, and again, the version on Arch works great, and it integrates very well with the Gutenberg website, that you can do searches and pull the books down from the Gutenberg website really easily. The one that I installed on Linux Mint, I think I had to actually go out and find my own dev package for it and get it up and running on. No, I pulled the sources down, because the one that was that I could run from the dev package sucked. It just sucked big time. It wouldn't do the network integration properly or anything. So I pulled down the source of the latest version and installed that on her system, and that worked out really well. So she had those two options. Somebody had recommended Calibre. I assume it's pronounced Calibre, C-A-L-I-B-R-E. But that is like a sledgehammer of programs, and it does everything from syncing ebooks to different handheld devices or different ebook reading software, conversion between different book formats, and apparently it has an ebook reader in there, but I couldn't find it on the version I installed on Linux Mint, and it was so heavy, and I just didn't think it was worth it. Ideally, what we were trying to look for was an ebook reader that had kind of like some kind of note-taking functionality, which none of them that I played with seemed to have this capability, and that would be a really cool option to have, where you can like pop open a little window on the side and take notes that would stay kind of in sync with the lines on the of the chapter that you were reading. Because they can put bookmarks anywhere, and I could assume that you could put notes. It would be easy, not too difficult to extend it to put notes. And it would be even cool to be able to do highlighting and stuff also. But be that as it may, none of the ebook readers that I saw had that functionality. So FB Reader and GutenPy seem to stand out on the Linux side of things for being great ebook readers. And also, what's cool about Gutenberg Press, if you go to Project Gutenberg, there's a significant number of audiobooks on there done by people, and they're all free. I forget what the project's called, like Free or Libra something, I forget what it is. And she pulled down, we have ebook version of Call of the Wild, we have the text version of Call of the Wild, she has all the chapters in audio format. I have two different versions of it on my G1 here, and it's just so much wealth out there. Now, on the G1, so far my preferred ebook reader has been Aldigo, largely because it's awesome functionality and integration with Feedbooks and online resources, that you can just go through here and pick a book in the library and download it to your system off of feedbooks.com. It works really well. The other one, but I've heard that it is a closed source application, and I heard that it's like vigorously closed source, like they don't have any intention of being open source in any way. So that was kind of down. I did find another application, like I said, called Wordaholic, which is not as pretty as Aldigo. It has the same functionality, but I don't know if it's open source or not. It's written by one guy. It works well. It just doesn't look as pretty. It has the same functionality of downloading from the Feedbooks website. That works pretty well. The layout and everything isn't, and the browsing features aren't as sophisticated and featureful as they are on Aldigo. And then, of course, FB Reader is great, but it has, the one thing I didn't like about FB Reader is it has absolutely no network functionality and the capability of sharing the ebook directories with the other software. So thus my opinion on ebook readers on these systems. Maybe yours would differ. And what I don't understand, Pat, and maybe you'll agree with me, right? Amazon, I think they have a Kindle app out for the iPhone,
the iPhone.
Android.
They don't have one for Android.
They don't have one for the Droid yet. And I'm thinking to myself, I've heard about Amazon. Somebody speculated that, and I think it's speculation, because other people reported that the Kindle is going to move to a Windows platform. And I don't... the only thing I've ever heard about that was an article on the Danny Webb website, which I refuse to go to anymore because they piss me off with their pop-up surveys and crap. I don't like that. And the guy, I think, was speculation there. I have not been able to find any confirmation of this whatsoever. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, the Kindle was nifty, but why should Amazon limit itself to the Kindle and maybe the iPhone? And why not just develop for the Droid and whatever other phone systems out there? Because they're not in the business of selling a hardware device. They're in the business of selling books and other things. Why, Pat? Why?
Doesn't make sense, man. Who knows what kind of underhanded deals are done behind closed doors?
They'll probably make an Android client. They're going to have to.
You would think. I mean, Android's become such a big platform, you know? It's only a matter of time.
It's already, what, I think it's number two behind the iPhone, isn't it? Or maybe it's behind BlackBerry yet. I don't know. But... I know. I think I might be getting a new phone next month, possibly.
Man, you guys are burning through phones.
Well, no, I'm due in December, but I checked with T-Mobile, and I'm eligible for an upgrade. They're giving me a $140 credit right now for an upgrade. So,
well, the rumor is that new phone's coming over the Verizon.
Which new? The Incredible?
Yeah, I think it's the Incredible.
I just heard the Incredible and the Desire may be coming to T-Mobile, too.
That's good.
So,
more phones the merrier, man. It's good. It's good.
But then there's the one, you already talked about the MyTouch 3G Slide.
No, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at. That one, it showed up on Engadget, and it's promised for probably about a May 19th launch. It basically is a MyTouch 3G with a beefed-up hardware and a slide-out keyboard. And plus, it also has this magical G key. I'm not exactly sure what that is yet, but there's been some...
Hitting the G-spot.
Yeah, hitting the G-spot.
Touch the G-spot.
But it definitely looks like it has Android 2.1. There's some of the screenshots that have the actual desk clock app listed. So it's probably got Android 2.1. Really redone version of HTC Sense. It's completely different, actually, than what I've seen before. It doesn't have the same, like, roundish kind of bar at the bottom. It looks more like Android. To me, anyway.
I have an application for Dan for Android.
What?
Dan, I know on the desktop you like having a desktop that changes with, like, pictures and stuff. There's an app called Wallpaper Rotator, and it changes, like, you pick pictures either from Flickr or the images you got saved on your SD card, and supposedly they're going to have integration for Picasa, Facebook coming down the pipe.
What's it called? Wallpaper changer?
Wallpaper rotator.
Huh.
It's right up your alley. I'm sorry, Joe. Did I ruin your train of thought by blurting something out randomly?
No. Nope.
Okay,
nope. I pulled the Dan. I started talking and I forgot I was muted. Because I'm enjoying some delicious kettle... brand potato chips. Listen, they're good.
I can't find Wallpaper Rotator.
The Incredible's also coming to Verizon April 29th. That looks similar to a Nexus. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got a better camera. It's got an 8 megapixel camera. That's pretty awesome.
Yep.
HTC Incredible. HTC is doing kick-ass stuff, man.
And they're all hackable. eventually Cyanogen will take, will get back in action, I'm hoping.
All right.
He really has taken a break.
What I need to tell you guys is you need to subscribe to the Planet Android RSS feed.
Absolutely.
It's an awesome feed. You got a combination of like new phones, review of applications, programming tips. Excellent. Excellent RSS feed, man.
Actually, did you see it's actually was spotted today on the Verizon website?
What do you mean?
Droid
like
Incredible by HTC.
Like a test website, and they accidentally rolled it out for a few minutes?
I don't know, but here I'll paste it in. It's from the Baltimore Sun, actually. In the IRC there, so it's probably definitely coming to Verizon. Droid Incredible is the name. Does vaguely look
what?
Nexus-like.
I'm going to post the link to the... for the scan code. You got your barcode scanner app in there?
For,
the QR code.
For what?
QR code reader? Barcode reader?
What were you going to post it for? The rotator?
The rotator.
I found it.
Link,
yeah, I found
the barcode,
it.
You could just scan that and it'll install it for you.
Yeah, I
that's
got it.
That's
I,
an
I,
awesome
I,
little thing, man. I show that to like
QR codes are awesome.
Just be able to scan off the screen, yeah.
Yeah, I show that to like iPhone people, and they're like blown away by that.
Yep. Actually, there's my neighbor, my cube mate across the way. He has an iPhone 3G, and because he cannot do iPhone OS 4, because supposedly the 3G can't do multitasking and other things.
Bullshit.
He's probably going to be getting a droid of some sort, Android phone of some sort. So, if I were him, I'd get the Nexus, especially since it's over on AT&T now as well. So, but what surprised me is there's actually two different versions of the Nexus One. One that's for T-Mobile, one that's for AT&T. Rather than make one phone with all the radios in it, you know, it just doesn't make sense to me, but... oh, well.
Who knows?
There was some news on the Mego this week. I think the first release came out. Or was that last week? I can't remember.
I think it was this past week.
Right. But they've also got an image for the N900, and they originally said the N900 wasn't going to get Mego. So,
well, it would suck if they dead end the N900, you know. That
especially as new as it is, it hasn't been out that long.
Exactly,
not even a year.
Why kill a fairly new phone, man? But it's freaking Nokia, so you know.
Actually, it's really old. It's March 31st is when that came out.
Real old.
So, there you go, Mimo Arena, Mego available for download.
Mego might turn out to be something really nice, you know. It might be
I'm not holding my breath.
But I've had it with Nokia, man. So done with them.
Yep. Well, they totally screwed it up. Me and you, we're on the same page on that, Pat.
Yeah, it's so fab, too.
I totally agree with you. What?
It's so fab, also.
Yeah, and the everyone but Big Brovar on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Identica. Actually,
he's
think
coming
he's
around.
Both.
He'll come around. Don't worry.
Well, I have to. But then I guess they announced the Wii Pad too, but that's over in Germany.
That's a terrible name for a product, man.
It is the Wii Pad.
You think of those pads that you buy for like puppies so they can piss all over it?
Pee Pad.
Anything that includes the name Wii. Besides the actual Wii.
Yes. Android Spin. They get an official launch in Germany, and it's a Atom chip running Android. I love it too. The interface looks really great with all the widgets, and it looks like on the right hand side, it looks like it has a looks almost like Jacrelem. Remember that? It almost looks like that, but I don't think it's that. The image on that I just pasted in the IRC, you really can't tell what it is. It looks like a multi-desktop switcher in the middle, and then buttons for, says internet info. I don't know, I can't read them all. But if you got a bunch of money burning, it's $611 or 449 euros.
I don't know, man. I'm so skeptical of about, you know, the whole internet tablet thing.
I kind of am, but I kind of see it. You know, I really kind of think that, you know, it might take off, but it might not. I laugh. There's this other blogger I saw. He's going to try and live only using his iPad for a week.
Good luck with that one.
And yeah. Well, he already screwed up in day one because some of the websites he has to use for work won't
Flash.
Work in Safari. No, actually, surprisingly, it wasn't Flash, believe it or not. But he did mention that. Later on in the week, he had a post that was where he had a web page that was mostly white, where the Flash applets belonged. So, but then, you know, that's the way it is. You know, it'll happen. There's already, I mean, they already redid Google Docs in HTML5. So. That'll happen. I mean, it's going to happen. Eventually, HTML5 is going to take over, and that stuff, you know, it'll just go away. So, anyway, so Southeast Linux Fest sounds like a More Dancy is coming down. I got an email from him earlier in the week. I think actually he's in our IRC too. But
yeah, he was in the chat room earlier.
Yeah, he still is. I'm actually wearing my spiffy looking TLTS t-shirt, although I'm going to have to get me another one off of him because mine's starting to get faded. But that's not because More Dancy didn't do good work. That's just because I wear it so much. I wear mine all the time. It's comfortable. So Pat's doing Miss TV. You're still doing the Linux boot sequence there, Dan?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I'm going to be on Sunday, most likely. My talk's going to be on Sunday. I'm going to do a two-hour deal.
Okay.
I'm going to do a presentation and then, you know, presentation demo and then, like, a lab install kind of deal. Plan on bringing a box down there and doing the install on it.
Claudio M., you could get a TLL t-shirt now. If you just go to TLLTS.org and click on the Silver Eclipse logo, you can order a t-shirt and have it to you by the time you have to go to sell, so you can already have a t-shirt. That really is more for, that's for Claudio, but really anybody can go do that. So, and please do. Yeah, he's planning on it. As he said there. Yeah, and they're only $10. So. I may actually have to go order one. Too bad Link's not on tonight.
He's dead.
I ordered my my QNAP NAS and it came, but I haven't had the chance to set it up yet.
Oh, really?
The one thing I had to do was I wanted to set up a remote backup setup, so I got an Amazon S3 account and I backed up all my files already. That took forever.
Nice.
Okay, so that's done.
I sure it did.
Now I'm sure. I'm gonna I'm going to use the drives that are in there right now on my server. I currently have a I do a RAID 1 where it's just two drives mirrored. Okay, but what I'm going to do is I have a third drive. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a RAID 5 setup with three drives.
Nice.
Where you have the two drives combined together, and then the third drive is a backup if one of them fails. And then I'm going to sync to the Amazon S3 account. Like every month.
I wish I could get one of those Drobos, a new one that came out, the Drobo FS.
But the thing with the Drobos is, man, they're proprietary, including the file format and shit. The one I got's pretty nice, man. I'm gonna blog about it once I get it working and everything, and everything set up. You know, looking at the specs and the documentation and everything, it looks like you can do a lot with it. It's Linux based.
Is your plan for this though to store your MIDI recordings on it too?
Not my recordings. What I put on there is my archive stuff. In other words, I might have to rip DVDs, my music, my photos, my home videos, crap like that.
They've got a media server in it, too?
Yes, it does, actually. You can if you'd like. I'm just going to... I'm just going to do an NFS share and then point my MythBox to it for the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the MVIX stuff, their stuff? They have some really neat NAS boxes. I tried to get a review unit, but they're like a Taiwan company, like run from Taiwan too. So it's like I don't hardly see them.
Yeah, I think they're based in California.
Are they?
Yeah, and it's all Linux.
The MVIX box. Yeah, the MVIX box actually it's Linux based as well, and I believe it also has run PHP and MySQL on it, I do believe. Media server. It has a Dyn DNS so that you can access the information from the internet. So, yeah, Apache, PHP, MySQL, so it's LAMP built in too. So, neat little box.
Now, the other thing I did was I migrated my blog over to WordPress.com.
Yeah, did you do that because you just didn't want to manage the blog anymore on your own servers?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I was getting tired of my bandwidth getting eaten up by people hitting my blog server.
Right.
Plus, the WordPress is free, so...
Yep. Yeah, the only thing about that is you almost have to have your image... Like, if you want to post an image in your blog post, you kind of have to host that somewhere else, because they don't give you that much upload in the
yeah, field. Yeah. That's what I do normally. I do it on, like, you know, whatever, Picasso or...
Flickr. Mm-hmm. Look.
There's my... I just posted my new blog address. So everybody...
Since last week...
Update your links, your RSS feed.
There you go.
Or you could just subscribe to the Planet TLLTS feed. That's been updated. Mm-hmm. Dan has to update the link in his blog. It's still the old one.
But since last week, though, we also... I also posted...
I have to remember where mine is.
Yeah. I posted
my... What's
the
last time you posted, Alan?
A year and a half ago.
I do occasionally email
Dan and ask him to update it for me to make sure that it's... I'm not going to spam anybody with it, but...
Spamming Alan. So I finally got the Neuros Link review done. I really like it. Joe Bourne did a great job. Joe Bourne and Neuros, I should say, did a great job. So, good stuff coming, more good stuff coming from him, and... I'm hoping that they also have some plans for the Neuros OSD 2. You can still get development kits right now on that, but that's supposed to do high definition. I don't know if he's going to go all the way up to 1080p or not. So.
Hmm. Alright, who's munching?
Me.
Gobble, gobble.
Yeah. No cheeseburger Doritos or KFC Double Downs.
That thing looks disgusting, let me tell you.
Doesn't it, though?
It's just crap piled on.
But it's one of those things you just gotta try at least once, because it could be good. Probably isn't, though.
I'm skeptical, man. Very skeptical.
Take a movie of yourself, eat it, man, and send it out, but...
I'll try it, and I think Dan should try it too.
I don't know. That's a lot of crap.
But yeah. By the way, it did make This Is Why You're Fat too.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But I don't know what they're thinking on that one, but. It's definitely geeky/mannish kind of food, you know. The only thing missing is buffalo sauce.
The only thing buffalo sauce should be on is buffalo wings.
I need to get some good wings. I haven't had any in a long time.
Although buffalo sauce is good on, you know, I would take it one step further. It's great on wings. I also like it on chicken in general.
Yep.
Like a buffalo chicken sandwich, I like that. And they have like buffalo fish sandwiches down here too. I haven't tried one of those.
That could be good.
Like buffalo catfish.
What are you doing to your mic, man?
I was adjusting my shirt. It's a little chilly down here today.
Dan's chili. Hopefully he didn't eat any either.
For his family's sake.
Yeah.
I haven't had chili in like 2 weeks. I love chili though. There's nothing like a good plate of chili.
Yeah, but chili doesn't love you.
No. You know the best chili mix I've ever tried has been the Carol Shelby's. Chili mix. That's good. I like it because you can make it as hot as you want.
Carol Shelby?
Yep, the same guy that did the car, yeah. It's in a little brown... Well, it was in a little brown paper bag, but now it's in a box. And it has basically everything separated, including the salt, so it's not just one spice packet. So if you don't want it as salty, you can actually keep the salt out. If you want it kicked up a little bit, then you can dump as much cayenne pepper in as you want.
I like Frank's Red Hot. That's pretty good. I like that on rice.
That's good stuff.
That better than Tabasco, to be honest.
Tabasco's
I do like the Chipotle Tabasco. That's really good.
I saw Chipotle tortilla chips today at the grocery store.
Did you try it?
Nah. Nope. They've been having these kettle potato chips on sale for the last 3 weeks, and I've been buying those. The good thing is they're organic. The bad thing is I'm sure they're fried in like peanut oil or something.
What's wrong with peanut oil?
Oh, nothing, since it's not at all good for you.
Well, it's better to fry it in peanut oil than most any other oil, because unless you're going to use lard, peanut oil has a high smoke rate. It doesn't break down.
Now, I get the barbecue ones, and the barbecue ones have a little bit more ingredients, but when I get the lightly salted ones, the only ingredients on it are like oil, potatoes, and salt. That's it. No MSG or any of that kind of crap. So they're natural. No GMO modified potatoes.
See, I don't get into lightly salted potato chips. Like, if I'm gonna have a potato chip, salt that damn chip, baby.
I was gonna say you need the freaking salt there.
Yeah. Don't tease me.
These ain't so bad. These actually have just enough on it. Not too much, not too little. They're just right. I like them.
Yeah, well, you keep your salt, lightly salty chips.
Now, the barbecue ones are salty as hell.
So are the, so are the salt and cracked pepper ones, too. And the vinegar and sea salt. I love vinegar and sea salt chips.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Well, when you eat potato chips, do you dip? I don't always dip. I rarely dip.
It depends. Like,
you become the food chef.
Yeah, if I'm going to dip... like, if I get potato chips, if I get dip, I do like dip on potato chips, but I want like plain potato chips to dip, like, not like a flavored potato chip.
Yeah.
Maybe flavored sour cream and onion, but not.
Yeah.
Like, I can do, but I wouldn't want to dip like, I freaking love ketchup flavored potato chips. I wouldn't want to dip those.
Ooh, those are nasty.
Although, you know what? I will... you don't like ketchup-flavored potato chips?
No.
No way. Ugh.
I love ketchup-flavored potato chips.
You know, I did find it at Walmart. Southwest mustard. Southwest mustard. Oh, man, that's good. I like that. Put it on a hamburger. Man, that's good eating.
Yeah, there's also Vidalia onion.
Mustard's good. It's cookout season, man.
And spicy Thai. Not spicy. It's not spicy Thai, but there's Thai chili. That's another one.
Oh yeah, I've seen that.
And what else is there? Spicy Thai. No, Thai chili. Blue cheese. I think
blue
there's
mustard?
No, not blue cheese mustard. There's one that's called it's like a blue cheese flavored. I think it's a kettle chip, but it's a blue cheese flavored one.
Oh yeah. A Buffalo Blue.
Buffalo Blue, that's right.
I've had those. I had a bag of those today.
And
kettle makes awesome chips.
Yeah, I do.
Adam Fubar.
And,
yeah, food porn.
There's a couple other flavors. New York cheddar, did you say that?
I haven't tried those yet.
I thought there was one like yogurt or something.
I think you're right. I like sweet potato chips too, from Terra.
Was there a yogurt one? Maybe I'm thinking of the Thai. Chili, no, spicy Thai. No, I thought there was a yogurt one. Is there a yogurt kettle chip?
We'll find out, dude. Just Google.
Get a pretzel flavored kettle chip.
Pretzel flavored?
I'm just kidding. I bet you they could do it. I bet you Dave Yates could do that.
There you go.
Make a pretzel-flavored kettle chip. Because he's into that stuff.
He's a scientist.
A food scientist.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. When we go down to South Carolina, we got to have some barbecue down there.
Yogurt and green onion.
That's it. Yogurt and green onion.
You guys don't want to eat barbecue down there?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
From what I hear, though, we're not near much of anything. I thought everything, it's like the place to be is the hotel. And Dave Yates is pressuring everybody to eat at the hotel, so.
I want barbecue, damn it.
We'll have to drive out for some barbecue then.
I'm going to freaking find a place.
Or even some Carolina
Google
hot
it.
Dogs, too, man.
Red hot dogs.
I'm on my freaking phone.
No, Carolina hot dogs, I think they put coleslaw on the hot dog.
Oh, the Carolina style. I thought you meant southern hot dogs, which are like dyed red. I love southern
Death
hot
Valley
dogs.
Death Valley Chipotle.
What?
Mmm. Death Valley like, Chipotle kettle chips.
Yeah, I've had those.
They do the same thing with the hot dogs in Maine, Dan. They're like dyed red.
We have a wiener place across the street. We have a hot dog place across the street from where I work, and they got like the Carolina dog is the dog with coleslaw on it, and the Philly dog is the dog with red pepper and something else, onions and cheese.
Hot dogs. Yeah, freaking hot dogs. If you want good ones, you gotta pay money for them, man. I just bought some at the Kroger, and it's like, beef hot dogs were like $4 for 8-pack.
Have you ever had a bad hot dog, though? Really?
Not really. Even the chicken and pork ones are pretty good.
And it's pretty amazing, because it's made with, you know, all the scraps, you know?
It still tastes damn good.
Lips on assholes, you know?
Yeah.
The good thing about having a grill and making hot dogs is the hot dog only takes maybe a minute or two.
you know what else is good?
A little bit on the outside, warm them up.
What I love in the Lehigh Valley is Yakko's hot dogs. I love those. You guys,
ate Tony Paco's.
You've had Yakko's hot dogs, Alan and Pat, right?
I've never gone to it once.
You've never gone to Yakko's? Man, you gotta get Yakko'd, baby. That's some good stuff. Pat's never been to Yakko's. You gotta go to Yakko's, man.
There isn't one over here.
To what?
There isn't one near me.
Yeah, there's one, it's not that far away. The closest one is off of 22 and Airport Road. In that shopping
Yakko's
center right there. Where, I think it's a Weiss's that's in there, and, or whatever that shopping center. The, Ollie's. I think it's Ollie's, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Jack Creek. Where Jack Creek is, there's a Yakko's right
there.
I like it. It's good.
I'll go in and try it then.
You try that, man. You try the Yakko's.
I'm not a big fan of those. It's just of just crap piled on my
plate. They don't pile a lot of crap on.
Very particular, like, man. I like mustard, maybe some sauerkraut. That's about it, you know?
Well, they can do that for you, but they have a chili sauce that they put on that's really good. If you like, it's unique. It's a secret. What is it? The secret sauce is one of a kind. Yeah, go get Yakko, man. It's good.
Well, here in Columbus, I like going to Skyline. Get a cheese coney, man.
From
chili
where?
And cheese and onion. Skyline chili.
Oh. I know,
They're good. They put this big pile of orange cheese on the top. Good stuff.
The only place I ever see that sells a coney is Sonic. They call it a coney.
Which I'm sure is way better than Skyline's, but Skyline's ain't bad. And they're cheap, too.
Well, I don't know. If Skyline is a hot dog place, usually I find, like, all hot dogs I've found are good, but like, hot dog places really do hot dogs good.
Yeah. Skyline is a Cincinnati. Cincinnati is big on chili. They have Gold Star and Skyline and all that. But the chili, like, they put the chili on the Skyline conies. There's no beans in it. It's just meat. Meat, tomatoes, and chili powder, and it's good stuff.
I don't think I've ever had a hot dog with beans on it. Chili beans on it.
Yeah, I do when I have a chili dog, but depends on the chili. Not all the chili
right.
has beans.
Like, I don't... hot dog chili traditionally doesn't have beans, does it?
Not really, I don't think. But Skyline also does a buffalo chicken wrap, too, that's really yummy. Best part is I can walk to this place, man. There's one right in there.
Halster and the IRC brought up, I think he's saying, Wiener Schnitzel. We used to have a Wiener Schnitzel in the Lehigh Valley, and it closed down, and it became a hamburger stand. And then Hamburger Stand went out of business, and the place was just called Hamburger after that. Like, there was two of them. There was one on South 4th Street and one on Union Boulevard. Not Union Boulevard, Hanover Avenue. And the franchise went out, and the one on Union Boulevard, or Hanover, just changed its name to Hamburger. That's it for a little while. And now that's gone. But, I guess the other place called himself Stand or something. I don't know. That's the place where we stopped and we did the infamous stop at KFC, get the KFC Kentucky Fried Chicken Bowl, and then stop at the Hamburger Stand to get two corn dogs to eat it with, like chopsticks. That was that place.
And then a half hour later, you stopped at the toilet to go, because it went right through you.
Half hour later, I died of a heart attack.
It's like White Castles, man. Well, White Castles, the root is good when you eat them, man, but the next day, man, you're in pain.
I don't get that from White Castles.
An hour later, you're in pain.
White Castles don't make me sick.
We'll have to take you guys over to Thurman. We're going to have to take you to the Thurman here in Columbus, man. That's good stuff, man. Thurman Cafe, I think that was on Man vs. Food.
Is that that German place?
No, well, that's Schmitz, and that's actually good, too. But you don't want to pump Dan full of sauerkraut and stuff.
No, probably not.
No,
sauerkraut doesn't give me
anybody gas. Really wants to pump Dan full of sauerkraut.
The Thurman and German Village, too, but they have a... Their thing is burgers. Like, look at the burger on the bottom of that. It's huge. They put, like, ham and onions.
I'm so not into that.
Yeah.
I don't like food,
man,
just, like,
it's good.
Piled on. I'm not into that.
It's
totally
good.
Not into that.
Well, you got to play us out, Dan.
I got a song to play us out.
Doba.
No.
Holster says air gives Dan gas, and I'd have to concur. Oh, man, there was a Bill Engvall, the bit that he did. It's streaming on Netflix, by the way, where he talks about when he had his colonoscopy.
Ugh, I think we got to end this conversation.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't want to hear about
talk about gas.
I don't want to hear about that.
Oh, it was funny. It was funny. You have to watch that. On Netflix. I love that. Just wish it would play on Linux. If it would play on Linux, we could join as an affiliate program. But, oh well.
Alright. Alright. What we have today is a song called 18 Wheels to Hell from Houdini Roadshow off the Down in the City album. You can find that on Jamendo if you like it.
Woot!
And without further ado, unless there's anything else, gentlemen, we'll play us out here.
Good evening, everyone.
Get your ass in. We'll file your taxes.
Yeah.
Just signed mine.
Alright, so any last words? We got a guest next week, don't we?
I have no idea.
I don't. I don't either. Look at the calendar.
If there's no guest, it will be a... No, it's just us, I guess, next week. I have no idea. It'll be part 3 of Project Management Software.
No! I hope we can come up with something more interesting.
Nah, we'll have. All right, so
it'll be all Android. Really piss off Peter 64.
Yeah.
Those guys
wait
still
a minute.
Doing a show? What's the deal?
Yeah, he's Colonel Panic Oddcast.
Colonel
so what's
Panic.
The deal? They made up with Monster B,
but they're still
what?
Separate.
I don't know. It's separate shows. Don't ask me. I have no idea what's going on over there.
I think
every fortnight.
Yeah, 330 has a too big of an ego, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think it has anything to do with anybody. I don't know what the hell. 330's on something kind of techie with the peg wall. He shows up on Linux Basement all the time with Chad. It's interesting because he shows up on all these other shows. We invited him to come on here, and he never shows up anymore.
Bastard.
Piece of crap. That's all I gotta say. All right, here we go, gentlemen. 18 Wheels to Hell. Mute yourselves.
Good night.
Bye bye.
You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain.
Oi, come back.
Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year,
This year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Rift Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
Talk about the new sets of computers.
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy, I have the gun!
It's over.
Yeah, it's over, all right.
Yeah.
It's over on your face.
So, I got a Dell Latitude D610 that belongs to a friend at church. Looks like a bad hard drive.
Like, how big's a hard drive?
That's a good question. Still at ATA 100. It's not even SATA. The Fujitsu. I just kept it in the freezer for an hour or a couple hours, but I don't even think it's detecting it because it's not even trying to spin up. So it's probably not stiction. I'm just wondering what he wanted to save the data off of it. I'm just wondering what he wants to do with it if I can't do that. If he thinks he's going to keep it out or the hard drive and use it.
The complete book of farting.
Oh Lord. Where'd you find that?
On nowhereman.alphaspace.net.
It's 40 gig drive. Huh. 5400 RPM, it's not that slow. $150? You gotta be kidding me. For a 40 gig drive?
Alright, the ultimate book of farting. I should post a link in the chat. There we go. I'll read an excerpt.
An excerpt. Yay.
Let's get this straight to begin with. Everybody farts. Farts are 100% normal. They are a vital and inescapable part of everyday life and are nothing to be prudish about. When God created man, and notably women, he meant them to do what comes naturally. And fart away, Adam and Eve no doubt did, particularly with those fruit trees around. The Old Testament aside, flatulence has an ancient and honorable history, at least where the medical profession is concerned. The great Hippocrates of Kos circa 460 BC to 377 or 359 or 357 BC, the authorities differ, made certain that doctors should understand the mechanics of farting, and they and their patients the consequences. If some of his theories have not withstood the test of time and the relentless march of medicine, hardly very surprising given that he was practicing some 2,300 years ago, he remains sound on flatulence. Of the consequences of farting, he had this to say about the avoidance of what patient medicine advertisement call abdominal pain. It is best to pass wind noiselessly, but even a noisy fart is better than one retained. Pains and swelling in the hypochondria, situated in the upper abdomen, and believed by the ancient Greeks to be the seat of melancholy, are much reduced by
borborygmi,
rumblings of gas in the intestines. In the hypochondrium, upper abdomen, much relief will be affected by the gas moving along, and also by its descent into the lower bowels. Hippocrates seems, too, to have a pretty good sense not only of the nature of farting, but also of how the human body operates. The factors that cause flatulence or tormentia, acute griping or ringing pains in the bowels, the word derives from the same root as torment, naturally do so in the hollow parts of the body, the stomach and chest, where they produce rumbling noises. Now we know what we're dealing with. I will move on.
Yeah.
If you're interested in hearing more...
No.
All right, I'll read this part right here because this is important. What is a fart? Farts are nature's way of releasing our own toxins. Flatulence can be described as the pressure of excessive amounts of gas in the stomach or intestines. If we didn't fart, the gases we produce would be reabsorbed into the blood and poison us. And as anyone who has ever suffered from trapped wind can verify, holding it in causes painful swelling and distension of the abdomen. In the many years I have devoted to the subject of farting, I have heard of a single human being who is actually filled to the bursting point. Unlike cows, which explode regularly, farts are mainly composed of five gases: nitrogen, carbon dioxide, hydrogen, methane, and oxygen.
That's what I had to say about that.
What's in a fart? The gases listed above are okay so far as they go, but hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen are elements and by themselves will not give the true flavor of a fart. What they need is a bit of spicing up, and they get this by forming compounds with carbon and sulfur. This is the method of creation of such essential smell factor ingredients as scattle, C6H9N. What is that? 9 carbon, 9 hydrogen, nitrogen, which is composed of 9 parts carbon, 9 parts hydrogen, 1 part nitrogen. Of course, each and every fart will vary, but there have to be some standards. We're talking science here, not social. To get the fart of the matter, if you'll forgive the pun, I have listed the properties of the various components of a fart below. Damn. Well, I'm not going to read that. There's a lot of properties. Well, if you like, there is 96 pages of free material on the Ultimate Book of Farting. Free to download. Bum, 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 bum. And with that, I guess we'll leave everybody off.
Sounds like an instant classic.
Yeah. It's in PDF format, unfortunately. I could probably use Caliber to convert it. All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
What? Oh, that sounds good.
Do you?
Echo. Echo.
Where's there an echo?
Flatback. I can hear it.
Where?
Along with...
Coming out of your speakers or your headphones?
Is there an echo now?
No.
Just a hissing noise.
Yeah, well, that's part of the course. That's the fan today. Recording on my end.
Family.
You still hear an echo?
No.
Echo's gone?
A little bit.
Family suing convenience store clerk because clerk pointed scanner at girl's face, allegedly causing burns, post-traumatic stress, and Tourette's syndrome. I call bullshit.
Was the alleged family a bunch of gypsies?
Domenica Giuliano.
Yeah, that could be.
And this happened when she was 12 in 2004, by the way, so it's only just popping up now. Probably because statute of limitation on the suing goes away this year, probably.
Love! I want to talk about something. I can't remember what it was. Shit. Let me see if I can jog my memory.
Love.
No, I've got a girl from Ipanema in my head. And it didn't help that I went out and like Googled the lyrics for it.
Where'd you get those?
Where did I get them? Google.
Oh, no, my daughter was putting funky glasses on me.
Oh, okay. Funky daddy. Alright, let me see. Oh, that's right. What the hell is that?
Why won't Alan die?
I don't go there yet.
All right, where am I? And close this. That is going the way it should go.
Oh,
Alan, say something.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm finally here, and Link's not again.
Pat, say something.
Well, hello, Mike number one, Mike number one. How are we having lots of fun?
Testing, 1, 2, 3, test.
Porn, corn.
That'll
porn?
Help. What?
Porn?
2, 2, 3, 1. 2, 2, 3, 1. 1, 2, 3. Now I'm around everybody else, okay. My feet stink.
Yeah.
Did Og Camp happen already? Yeah, no. Texas
up.
Linux Fest did.
Yeah, Texas Linux Fest was last weekend.
Yeah.
What's interesting is they had their keynote speaker was a person who doesn't actually use Linux.
What do they use?
They had Randall Schwartz, who uses BSD and Mac OS X. I thought that was a curious choice for a keynote speaker at a Linux conference.
Oh, that's okay.
Over here. Do you want to buy this?
Well, they can do whatever they want. It's not my conference.
The center of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner.
Okay.
It's a bargain.
Oi! Oi! Come back!
Oh.
All right.
Now the...
The flesh. Alan in the flesh.
No.
Alan eats the flesh. The flesh of a long sausage. what's that mean? I don't know.
I have absolutely no clue, man.
Sorry. No Link tonight? Come on. wonder if Joel's out getting one of those Kentucky Fried Chicken sandwiches. Or I should say, unsandwiches.
I don't know. You guys watch, like, Man vs. Food?
No, I don't think I've ever seen an episode of that. I've only heard of it.
A lot of the places he goes to, they have, like, these sandwiches where they just pile, like, shit up, like, every freaking thing just on top of each other. Just slabbed on slabs of shit, you know? I don't know. That doesn't look appealing to me. Just stuff piled on, you know?
No, I hear what you're saying.
Oh, is Rabbit here? Ask him to come on?
Oh, look at that. He posted his cell phone number. Now it's going to be in the logs, and everybody will always be able to see it forever and ever. Love soon will blow Alan away. He's gay today. It's okay, because we won't discriminate anyway. Oh, Alan. Alan, Alan.
Dan, dear Dan, you have far too much time on your hands and too much imagination.
No, I don't. I wish I had more time on my hands. What the hell is that?
God.
Not me.
Who was that? I know how I could find out. Firefox!
Excuse me. Seven more minutes until my handbrake is done.
Man, what was that? I want to know. Why can't I get this right? There we go. I don't know. Something went wacky there. I guess, we ready to start the show?
You gotta start it early? We got 3 minutes.
Oh, we do?
Oh.
No, it's 8:31.
Fox says 8:27.
I got three clocks here that say 8:31.
Oh, you're right, 8:31.
My toe itches. All right. It sucked, man. I didn't leave work till like 7:20. Ay, ay, ay. Oh. Okay, now my foot's all scratched. My fingers stink. Oh my god, do they stink. I need to get some like Dr. Scholl's or something in my shoes, man, because my feet are really stinky. I bet your feet stink when you ride that motorcycle, don't they? In the summertime?
Too bad.
It's what?
No, it's not too bad, actually. Mm. The secret is to have, like, shoes with, like, airflow through them. My sneakers have, like, mesh on the top of them, so...
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. How's Caroline doing?
Very good.
That's good. Oh, wait. I know what I'm looking for. No. No. No, it's over here. All right. I'm going to start the show.
Do it.
Moot yourselves, for there'll be echo in the back. it'll sound like this. Let me. All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.